volunteer tomorrow. Be here at 10 o'clock because we need to divvy out what we're going to do. But a friend of mine told me they got a truck today in Fort Wayne. The truck came 2 hours early. So, but then again, the truck could come late, so there's no promise. So we'll just need to be here at 10 o'clock, and we're going to divvy it up to the people at 1. But there'll be another truck coming in, another pastor coming in. I want to give those people some. So there's going to be a lot to do. Don't worry about that, okay? It's going to be a lot to do. Okay. Is that you? Okay. Let me make sure I won't do anything back here. Okay. Yeah. So, well, if you have your Bibles, we'll be in 2 Kings tonight in chapter 4. There's two great prophets that have kind of similar sounds. One's called Elijah, and one's called Elijah. We'll be talking a little bit about Elijah today. He's not the most. It's kind of weird. He's not the most important character here, but he is a part. He is in this. He is important, but I want to share with you some pieces here tonight. So I want to remind you every day. That millions of people are standing at a crossroads and they find themselves in some type of bad situation, some type of bad circumstance that they've got to work through. And so they've got to work through it, whether sometimes it's self-made, unfortunately, and sometimes it's just part of life. We find ourselves in bad spots sometimes because we've created them. Or someone else has created them in our circle of life. Sometimes things happen just because we're living and it's a part of life. We can't always walk around a situation. We can't always not have things happen. Things are going to happen because it's part of life and it happens. But in these certain circumstances, what happens is people begin to choose. We have to make decisions. Every day you're making decisions, but when you have a situation in front of you that's not good, you have to make a decision. You have to make choices. Today, there's millions of people that are at a crossroads and bad situations are in their life, whether they created them or not, or as a part of life, they have to make choices. And sometimes people make bad choices. Even when they have a bad situation in front of them. Many run back to addictions. Many run back to an old boyfriend or an old girlfriend that they know is toxic. So old toxic relationships. We see that happen quite often in life. We see people running to other things. And so now we have lots of secrets. We have people running to self-medicate for whatever it is. But people will try to find a way to get through their situation, and they'll do it. And so many people claim to have a relationship with God they want, but they try to do it without Him. And we're going to talk about a lady today that did it with Him. But even when you do it with Him, sometimes the pain don't go away right away. And sometimes there's a lot going on. And we're going to see that with this woman here. And I will tell you, in ministry, you never know what's going to happen from one day to the next. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elijah, saying, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant has feared the Lord.'" And here's what we find out. There is a certain woman. This woman is a believer. And she's choosing. She's at a crossroads. There's a situation in her life. Her husband is dead. She's a widow. And she doesn't know what to do. She's got a problem. And the first place that she goes to, what we see here, is she goes to the prophet. She goes to Elijah. She goes to the church house. This is not what most people do. They go to old boyfriend, girlfriends. They go to old places, to the bar. So wherever it is, but people don't come to the church. And if you're a follower of God, I'm telling you, that's where your answers are. No, in those other places. I will tell you this, and I believe it with all my heart. People will let you down, but God never will. Sometimes God allows you to stir in it a little bit because you need to learn a lesson or you need these other things he's doing. But just remember this. If you bring it to God, he's doing something. You just don't always see it. But what we do is we shortchange it and we take off real quick and then we miss what he's doing. And it doesn't happen. But what we see here is this woman, she's coming. She has a problem there. She is a believing woman and she is at a crossroads. Now here's the thing. She and the prophet share that man. It was a servant to Elijah. So he served pretty much in the church, that kind of thing. Okay? So there is a part there that he was a servant to the prophets. Here it is. He's a servant. He works there with them. But it's also, he was her husband. So they have this thing in common. They were both connected to this man. And they knew who she was. They knew exactly who she was. And it goes on and it says, and she says, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, meaning that he was faithful. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. Now, I'm not going to mention names, but some of you may know if you listen to certain radio stations or what. I'm very, very tired. I understand the method. I understand what he's trying to do, what they try to do. I'm trying to tell everybody to be debt-free. I get it. Debt-free would be amazing. But we know some people, it's just going to be impossible. For some Christians, it's going to be impossible. We live in the real world. But some people would tell you, you got to do this, you got to do this, and all these people are telling you to be debt-free, and all these Christian leaders, and I'm not going to say who all they are, but you got to be debt-free, and they preach it, and they teach it, and people walk out of the church after going to hear these guys preach and teach. They'll walk out of the church, and they'll walk out more discouraged than when they came in, because I'm not debt-free. Let me tell you, Christians have debt. We do. Now, we need to learn how to make sure we don't get too far out of the range. Who can go out and afford a $50,000, $100,000, $200,000 home? No. And just paying in cash. No. We borrow and we have a mortgage. We want a car, whether it's a $2,500 car or for some folks a $25,000 car. We have debt. Okay? Sometimes we get more debt than we're supposed to when we find ourselves in trouble. But they had a debt. And back then, you could give someone in your family could go be a slave for a while. It was a different type of slave, but they basically, it was, I'm going to work for you for 4 years to pay off my family's debt. And then you got to go home every day. Or you had to stay there. It was a different set of way they did those things. And then they were done at the end. The creditor, she knew the bills were due. The bills due. And he's coming. And the way it was if she don't have the money, the boys are going with him to pay off the debt. That'd teach you real quick not to get in debt, huh? But here it is. They're living off faith, but her husband died. He was the one of us probably making the money. But she had debt, and it had to be paid. And when you don't have what you need to pay a debt, you all know what that feels like. Stress and anxiety come up. They come and going to repo the car, or you're told to leave your home, or whatever it may be. Debt's got to be paid. This woman didn't run out to no other places. She came to the church. Now, is the church going to pay her bills? No. But God's bigger than the church. I want you to understand that. God is bigger than the church. He has a way that he does things. All right? He has a way that he does things. So she comes to him and she says, this is my problem. And she, and the scripture says that she cried out. She is stressing. Now, I know I talked about we're not supposed to stress, but there's some things in life we're just going to stress over and we're going to get through it. But there's going to be moments because emotionally we are vested into our family. You mess with anybody's family and your own family, and somebody starts messing with your family, you know you're going to start tightening up, right? Yeah, you're going to start tightening up. And then you know if you got kids, you're going to tighten up even more because you are supposed to be protecting your kids. And there's a debtor coming. And she throws the question at Elijah. Elijah's got a, oh my, okay. But Elijah is a man of God, and God's going to speak through him. This is the first thing he says in verse 2. So Elijah said to her, "What shall I do for you?" Now, how can I help you? What do you want? They knew each other. Tell me. And then what happens is, it's like the Holy Spirit just clicks right in there. He says, "Tell me, what do you have in your home, in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." She's poor. She don't have anything. She used up everything she had to make it through. She came because she had nothing. She had no answers. But Elijah says, "What do you have in your house?" I believe we have to use what we have. It's in front of us. Okay? I believe that. I believe that. Every one of us have been in a situation like this where we couldn't fix our situation. We need to humble ourselves, come to the Lord, and try to get it worked out with Him. Because when we find out there is no way, like this, there is no way, God makes a way. But we got to go to Him with what we have, and we got to lay at His feet. And we got to be around the people that know. We got to be around people that will be, that are godly people. They will not steer you wrong. Okay? He says, "We don't have anything but a jar of oil." God will use whatever little that you have. Because there's something more important that's going on. Now to her, there's nothing more important. But God's going to take care of this situation, and He's going to make it even better. Verse 3, it says, then he said, what he says, he says, "Now, I want you to go and borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels." That's these kind of containers, empty vessels, jars, if you want to say. Your version may say jars, empty jars. "Don't gather just a few." Now, she's hearing this. I'm wondering if she's hearing it saying, "You're talking about borrowing? I'm already in debt. I'm already in debt." But she didn't say anything at that moment. But you know she's thinking. And he says, "Now I want you to gather up these. Don't gather just a few." What is he saying? "I want you to get as many as what?" "Many as you possibly can. And when you have come in, you shut the door. You shall shut the door behind you and your sons, and then pour into all those vessels and set aside the full ones." This is the moment when people walk away from the church. "I can't do that. I'm going to do that. I can't do what you're asking me to do. I can't do that." There's been times people have come and wanted gas money, and right before service, I said, "I'll tell you what. You come in, you sit down. I'll figure out what we can do when you leave at the end of the service." Most of them will go right out the door. Go on out the door then, but you're going out with nothing. And there's a reason for that. Now, if you're out there, somebody's out there and they need help, yeah, we're supposed to be the Good Samaritan. We're supposed to love people and help them the best that we can. But when you come to the house of God, where are you coming? You're coming to the house of God. You're coming in His house. And you want something from the house of God. Well, if you want something from me, you're going to have to talk to me. I want something from you. I've got to talk to you. People want to bounce around, hide around, sneak around, come around, try to get something, try to get that, whatever, without even talking to God. Now, some are ashamed of it, but listen, there's still no excuses. God sees it all. He sees us how we are. But He said, He told this woman, "I want you to go out and get as many jars as you possibly can. And when you come in, you're going to shut the door." Now, this is the part where you have to ignite your faith. Because the church can walk with you, but only so far. You got to go behind the closed doors, and since that moment, it's just going to be you and the Lord. You and the Lord are going to work this out. Now, she had a couple boys there because they were part. They were in this problem. They were in this. They had the same problem. This is a family. Let me tell you, when one part of your family hurts, it all hurts. If you got four or five kids, one is hurting, the whole family hurts. It's just like getting sick. One gets a cold, everybody gets a cold. It's just got to go through the family, right? Right? So there's this moment. I want you to go and borrow all these vessels from everywhere and from all your neighbors. Now let me stop you there for a minute. Let me just say this. Everybody probably knows that she's got a problem, but don't maybe not know how bad it is because she came to the church house. If you don't have good character, you're going to want to run out there and ask for help amongst your family and friends, and they're going to say, nope, because you done burnt that bridge more than once. But with her, she's a good character, and she gathers as much as she can. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, and who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. All she had was her own oil. That's it. Didn't have church oil. Her own oil. Church didn't supply that. She already had that. Church didn't supply any of the vessels. Friends and family, all that. Friends had that. Her neighbors had that. They brought all that in there. They brought it in there. They brought it into the church. So the church really didn't supply anything, but yet supplied everything. The answers. God speaking through this prophet. They're in the church. Go behind this door. She's doing her work in the church area, not out there in the mess of the world. And she's doing it, and they do exactly what the prophet is saying. They begin to pour that one little bottle of oil, that's it, and begin to fill up the other jars, all the other jars, all the other vessels. That can only happen by the Lord. Now here's the problem. Most people would only believe, so many people don't even believe this story. Because we want to put walls around God. We want to put limitations on God. We want to put limitations on God. There's no limitations on God. Never has been. Never will be. As we said last, everything belongs to God. Everything. This is a test of her faith. This is a moment. And she went in. And she brought all, they got all those vessels, and she began to pour it out. Now it came to pass, in verse 6, now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, all that she borrowed was full, that she said to her, bring me another one. Bring me another jar. Bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Got the boys in there. They're doing their thing. Now here's the thing. We need, you go back to what she was told to do. The prophet said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, as many as you can. From all your neighbors, empty ones. She did that. But here's the thing. Do not gather just a few. What if she would only gather just a few? You see, we don't always pay attention to God's word like we should. We shouldn't be listening to just part of it. We need to apply all of it. Because we might just miss our blessing by not doing what God's called us to do. By not obeying God's word. You know how many people miss blessings every week by not coming to church? Millions of people. Millions of blessings are not given because what does the scripture say? Do not forsake the assembling together as some of the habit of doing. But we are to encourage and spur up one another, waiting for the approaching great day. So we need to make sure that that church is important. Is it hard to come sometimes? Yes, it is. We got other things we can do, but we go when we're capable. We're going and God is feeding us and filling up we are a vessel. He's filling us up. So when those hard days come, we can fall back on those scriptures that we learned, fall back on that God is faithful, and fall back on not our pride, but knowing that we have been faithful. And we need to be faithful. And so because she was faithful and listened, now all these vessels are full. Let's see what happens in verse 7. Then she came and told the man of God, that'd be Elijah, and he said, now, so she's saying, what am I going to do with all this stuff? What am I going to do with all this oil? This is what he says. Go sell the oil and pay your debt. That's the first thing he said. Go sell it. Go sell the oil. Number two, when you get that money, you go pay that debt. Most people don't do that. Most people don't do that. They get money, they don't go pay their debts. Many times they'll go create more debt. Why did I do that? And we live in a world right now where you get all kinds of stuff in the mail. You get all kinds of phone calls. You get all kinds of things. And you just got to be careful what you do because you could find yourself in a mess. The man said, go sell the oil. Let me tell you, oil was a commodity then. Very much needed. That oil was a blessing that God gave to her. So I believe when she sold it, it was a blessing. It was a blessing. It was going to reap good money. Then he said, and you and your sons live off the rest. This is a major part of the story of the awesomeness of God's blessings. She came, now let's go back. She came to the church, talked to the priest, to the prophet, and said, this is my problem. You know the man we're talking about. You know my family. We have a problem. I have debts I can't pay, and they're coming to take my sons. There she was. That's how she came that day, a mess. But as she did it God's way, came to the church, avoided all the rest of the village or the city, came into the church, laid it down. She cast all her anxiety before the Lord. Why? Because he cares for you. That's what Peter says. She did it biblically the right way, and God intervened. Did what only God can do. She obeyed and she walked out different than when she came in. She walked out of that church house different. Now, how many people walk out of here different than when they came in? Now, here's what I think. This is what we know. That she's walking out with I would not say an armful, but I would say probably walking out with a wagon full, or we're going to take what we can and we'll come back and get the rest of it. Crate fulls, I don't know. Two sons and mom carrying all these jars are going to go right out to the marketplace and they're going to sell that. They came in empty-handed, ready to lose her sons, spiritually almost bankrupt, but not spiritually bankrupt, came to the church with her last moment of, I don't know what to do, but I know this is where I need to be. Ready to lose her home, ready to lose everything she's got and her sons and her family. And remember, she lost her husband. She still not even got time to grieve losing her husband. But she's walking out of there with everything she needs and more. She was able to pay her debt. The debt man was coming. It says he was coming to take my sons. Now she's going to pay him what they owe. That's probably a good feeling. But then he also said that you and your sons can live off the rest. I imagine that was a pretty good sum of money. So when she walked out of there, not only did she have enough to pay for her debts, but she also had more. Let me tell you, there are more blessings in the church house than what you will ever know. Because we call this the house of God. Now we know that the temple is the body. We know, we understand that. But this is a house that we call the house of God. And in it, there's so many blessings and help for people. But tonight, the liquor stores downtown, the liquor bars will be full. And you know what they say? Drink and spirits. Because when you drink so much, you start to see things. Spirits. The people think there's an answer at the bottom of that shot glass. People think there's an answer over here at this house on First Street or this house on Guilford Street where you can buy what you want because you think all them problems are going to go away. Let me tell you, your problems don't go away until you deal with them. And they don't always go away when you deal with them, but they will go and God will work with them and He'll deal with them when you trust it in His way. Listen, I want to tell you, every one of you that are here tonight, you are more blessed than the rest of those out there because you are here. Not because I'm special, but because God has a way to make your situation and in your life work out for His glory. It will help you, but it is also for His glory. And He will help you. And I'm telling you, when you get in the midst and you get into the room, this is your room tonight, with whatever problem that you got, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what it is, God can help you. But you're going to have to do it His way. Because your way is not working. Our way doesn't work. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Breaks my heart. I just showed Carla two people that I pray for on a regular basis. There's a lot of people I pray for, and I'm telling you, two people I know just tonight. Back in jail. It's not working. You can't take what's not yours. You cannot steal what's not. If it's not yours, you keep your hands off. It just doesn't work. You don't go out because you need something and you take something. You just don't do that. If you got a situation, there's millions of people tonight that's in a bad spot, a really bad spot. Now, some of those people are doing just what this lady's doing, praise the Lord. They found a place, whether it's in the church or they've pulled off the highway, and they're talking to God about their problem, whether they're going through a divorce, they've lost a child, they lost a baby, and whatever it may be, or their son has done something, I don't know what it is. But they know, to them, it is a situation and a bad situation, and it's just not good. The people right now that I believe are pulling off the road and going to talk to the Lord about it. There are some that want God to be a part of it, but they're not going to do it God's way. They may take a couple steps toward God, but they're going to get antsy and they're going to get impatient and they're going to do it, and they're going to run and go do something. They're going to make that situation worse. But there are going to be some that are going to work on it. And they're going to follow. And they're going to try to figure out, Lord, I don't know what's going on. What do you do? Let me tell you. You do what this woman said. You know, this is what bothers me. Let me tell you what bothers me. This church is not coming to me like they used to. Now, there's two good things about it. There is a good part. One, some of our people are growing spiritually. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But the other thing is, the ones I'm seeing that I know have problems, because word gets around, I know a lot what's going on in this community, what's going on with the people of this church and people that are connected. They're dying to do it their way. And I tell you, you want to throw a life jacket out to somebody, and you just sit there, and they just refuse to take it. And I say, all you got to do is grab it. They'll go underwater, both hands doing this, and they'll be angry, but they will not grab it because they know God's attached to it. And so they drowned. And they'll spend 18 years in Pendleton. They'll go to Michigan City and spend 10, 20 years there. Or maybe they'll just do 5 or 6, but it's enough to miss their kids. It's enough to do all that stuff. I'm telling you, this is the way you do it. There is no other way. What do we see with this situation? We see a miracle happen. And some of us need a miracle. We need a miracle in our life. I'm telling you, there's a woman in the Bible that turned around and tried everything in the world. She just kept on bleeding. And all she did was hear about a man named Jesus who could heal people. And she did everything. She said, he's coming to town one time. I'm going to make a way. And she pushed and shoved her way through that crowd. She didn't even talk to Jesus. She said, all I got to do is just touch the hem of his garment. All I got to do is just touch the clothes he's wearing. And she grabbed it, and Jesus stopped and said, who touched me? And he said, who, how can we know? Jesus, everybody is pushing and shoving. And he said, power came out from me. You know what that power was? It was ignited by her faith. Only if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. I know. This woman came and she said, I know where the answer is to my problem. I don't know how it's going to happen, but it is this. I've got to go to the church house. I've got to go where my husband served. And did you realize that she told the prophet, I am your maidservant. They knew each other. She served alongside her husband in certain areas where she was allowed to serve. This was a, if you want to call it today, this was a family that was members of the church. We're all doing something. We're all in some kind of situation. We've all been in those big ones. Some of us are in really, really big ones. And honestly, I don't see any hope unless you really get to the place where you start trusting God and that he can help you through it. And that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to open up the altar. We're going to say, just as this woman walked into a room and shut the door, I'm going to open up the altar where you can come and just pray and kind of shut the door around you and just have a moment with you and God and see what God has to say. And if you want to talk to me, I'll talk with you and I'll try to help you the best I can.